I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the regular session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona, to be held on Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, at 7 p.m. at the Bisbee Municipal Building, 118 Arizona Street, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis?
Here.
Mayor David Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Lindstrom's not here. Andy Heretic, Acting City Manager. Ashley Coronado, City Clerk. Carrie Bagley, Finance Director. Albert E. Chavez, Police Chief. Mark Berlinette, Fire Chief. Britt Hanson, City Attorney.
Thank you so much. For the invitation tonight, I was thinking today that this last week, my wife and I were once again able to assist with other members of the community in bringing students from the United World College to Bisbee. And so we had 11 students from around the world again. This is the fourth year, twice a year, that this happens. These students, as I indicated, are from around the world, and it's really incredible because we have students from Palestine and we have students from Israel staying in the same house, eating breakfast together, talking. We have students from Norway and students from Russia doing the same. And I had to reflect about neighbors and the importance of working together in a macro system and in a micro system, such as where we are. And so that brought to mind what I'd like us to do tonight is reflect on what we can do to this world to make things better, and keeping in mind the ugliness that's going on right now with the burning of synagogues, the desecration of graves, the burnings and desecration of mosques, and that what we as Americans to do to make this better. Thank you. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks. Please be seated. First thing is I have a proclamation. And this is a proclamation for Water Awareness Month. Whereas water is one of Arizona's most vital and precious resources, and whereas Arizona is an arid state where water is scarce and population continues to increase our demand for water, and whereas all citizens of Arizona and visitors should use water more efficiently, as practicing a low water use lifestyle is a way that each individual and business can help ensure a long-term sufficient water supply. And whereas water education is a cornerstone to any comprehensive water conservation program, and greater awareness of water issues can be gained through community education, action, and celebration. And whereas the City of Bisbee encourages water conservation in this month and every month of the year, now therefore be it resolved that I, David Smith, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, Arizona, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2017 to be Water Awareness Month in our community, and encourage all citizens to pledge to continue to use water wisely this month and every month of the year. Witness herein this 21st day of March 2017. David M. Smith, Mayor. And I'd like to give this to a WaterWise lady, Mary Ann Capehart. If you're where, there you are. Would you please come up? And I'll come around.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure.
And I'd like to give this back to the clerk for a quick change, and then we'll get it to you.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to say real quick?
I just wanted to say thank you for everything you do to conserve water right now. Really appreciate it. I know we have a high awareness of water in this area. If you have a need for more ideas, please connect with me. You can come to my busy office on Thursday if you need more suggestions for conserving water. And enjoy doing that. And thanks so much. And can I put a plug in for the film festival?
Of course.
You have a film evening of water-centered movies at the Bisbee Royale on Friday. But if you want to find out a lot more about the state of our water in Arizona and other places, please come.
Thank you, Mary Ann.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Well, while I'm down here, I want to, instead of making Mr. Lindstrom move, the employee of the month. And this is the employee of the month for March 2017. And this is wonderful because it's still March of 2017 that we're doing this. Normally we're off a month and so forth. And this is important for those that don't know. This award is actually voted on by our employees. The person is nominated and is voted on by our employees. And they all throw a little money into the kitty, and there's a Visa gift card that goes with this. And it's just an acknowledgement of the employees and staff of their hard work that they do on our behalf. So this month's Employee of the Month is Nina Williams, who is our assistant city clerk in the back. Come on up here, Nina.
We couldn't do it without you.
Yes, spend that wisely.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for a call to the public. I wanted to mention a couple things. The two words that I wish to use at all of our meetings are respect and decorum. Second is... any speaker is allotted 3 minutes. They may take less. You will be informed of those 3 minutes, and then you'll be asked to leave the podium. Third is we are not in a position of wanting accumulation. We don't want these people getting up, everybody getting up and saying basically the same thing. And so with that... some of these I have no idea what they are, so I'm gonna have to ask. Is it Galena Holbrook? I can't.
That would be me. I live in Galena. I don't know what my ward is.
Oh, okay. And that would be Leslie.
Yes.
Got it, Leslie. What item do you want to speak on?
The recycling system.
Okay, so that would be called to the public.
Okay.
And so. You can come up now.
Yeah,
you have.
But I'm down on the list.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And.
Okay. To start with, I would like to thank the Honorable Mayor and Council for allowing me the opportunity to come here and express myself. The issue that I'm having is with our recycling system and our standards. For our recycling system. I live in Galena. I moved there about 3 years ago, and my kitchen window is about 10 feet from the recycle bins that are near my house. And when I moved in, I was really excited because now all I got to do is just walk over there to put my recyclables in. But what's happened is the tin cans and the aluminum cans and stuff are stacking up. It takes like 4 months for those gross tin cans to accumulate high enough to get to the top for the guys to empty them. And watching them through my kitchen window, I see that they're really busy. Okay, recently I noticed that there's recyclables all over the place. And so I finally decided today to take the recycle bins, the aluminum and the tin cans, to the redemption center myself because I'm worried about bugs attracting mice, attracting snakes in our new found warm weather coming so early. And when I got there, it made me sad. What I saw just made me, my problem seemed so small, okay? There were hundreds of containers of tin cans, aluminum cans, and there was no place for me to empty my two recycle bins. Everything was completely full. And there were two workers there emptying the cage for their cardboard into some kind of cardboard bin and working as fast as they can. And I see them working as fast as they can everywhere about town. And I just want to know if there's something I can do to help the situation, if there's a committee I can join, if I need to recruit volunteers or speak to somebody about hiring more guys. I don't think that three guys is enough, or four. It looked to me more like a 20-person job. And I understand we've lost our prisoners. Lots of places in town have lost their prisoners recently. And I just think that we shouldn't be dependent on prisoners to accommodate this problem.
Thank you.
And that's basically all I have to say.
Thank you. Ms. Lambert, just so you'll know, when it's an item of call to the public, the mayor and council can't ask you questions nor reply to it because it's not an agenda item. But I do thank you very much, and your current concerns are heard. And I personally will get back to you about that.
Okay, I have sent emails and stuff as well, so
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, I'm trying to decipher this, I guess. Marco McCartney, it appears that you want to speak at call to the public because there's not an item on the agenda titled this.
That's correct.
Please.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Margo McCartney. I live in the San Jose area of Bisbee. And I came tonight to talk about parking in Old Bisbee, which is not on the agenda, but I would like to get it on the agenda. I'm asking the council to consider a requirement for any special events planning to include a shuttle from the pit to downtown. I am one of the gallery owners downtown who often cannot find a place to park. I go to open the gallery on a weekend, and I spend 30 to 40 minutes looking, and then I have to walk a mile. And then the other thing is people from Old Bisbee can't do anything. If there's an event downtown, we're just locked out because we can't get there. I would like to... There must be unless somebody's staying at an Old Bisbee hotel, there's no reason they couldn't park at the pit and get shuttled downtown and walk around because most everything is within a walking distance and then get shuttled back to their car. If they want to go to Warren, they could do that. If they want to go somewhere else, they could do that in their car. But Old Bisbee is just a wreck. So if there's anything I can do to help facilitate such a thing, I would like someone to contact me. I'll be happy to work on it. But I think it's a huge problem. I know I'm not speaking just for myself. There are other people who said, I don't even go downtown. I can't go downtown. But I have to go downtown because I have to open the gallery. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. John Viverto, is that correct? Sir, you have 3 minutes.
Hello, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. staff, and audience. Brock, my name is John Viverto. Lived down in Naco Head for 25 years. Lived in Bisbee for 4 years and had been around the town quite a bit. But when I saw this newspaper article, probably remember seeing it, it talked about the possible annexation of Naco to be explored and other smaller issues that are unincorporated along the way. It's a pretty interesting article, even though it's a short one and I haven't been able to track any other information since then about what the plans were. But I suppose, like any annexation, you'll offer people services in the selected area that the city provides. We'll all get a chance, perhaps, to vote on it, etc. But it lists a number of little things that I haven't heard a thing about. One was, if you read through the article, is that work sessions in March of 2017 are planned. I haven't heard anything about a committee being established yet. I don't know how many folks are out there from NACO, but they're here tonight, and I'm sure that we would like to hear something about where the issue of the establishment of a committee stands, and perhaps where what's planned for any future meetings. I have my name and contact information here. I'm applying for a position on that committee as a person from NACO. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sylvia Smith, where is... Ma'am, what were you going to speak on? Were you speaking a call to the public or an action item?
No.
Number 8?
Yes.
Number 9. I feel like Karnak, for those that remember that. Same question with Mark Tartaglia. Mark?
I probably put my name on the wrong list, so I'll just go on.
Are you speaking on a subject?
No, I'm not speaking at all.
All right, sir. I just want to make sure that we don't forget anybody. It's okay. All right, moving on. Accounts payable.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $260,386.03.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is item number 2, approval of the consent agenda. I will read that, items A through J. That's item A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on February 7, 2017 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on February 21, 2017. C, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on March 7, 2017 at 7 p.m. D, approval of the minutes of the work session of the Mayor and Council held on January 11, 2017 at 5:30 p.m. E, approval of the minutes of the work session of the Mayor and Council held on January 31, 2017 at 5:30 p.m. F, approval of the minutes of the work session of the Mayor and Council held on February 28, 2017 at 5:30 p.m. G, approval of the appointment of Alice Hammers to the Police and Fire Advisory Committee with a residency waiver. H, approval of the appointment of Sarah Rose to the Evergreen Cemetery Committee. I, approval of the special event liquor license application submitted by the Central School Project for an event to be held at Central School, 43 Howell Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Saturday, May 6, 2017, from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m., Laurie McKenna, applicant. J, approval of a liquor license application for Bisbee Beverage and Liquor, located at 1202 West Highway 92, Bisbee, Arizona, Jack Linden, applicant. Counsel, what is your pleasure? Does any member of the council ask for want any of these items pulled for discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to pull item G.
Item G, all right. Any others? Do we then have a motion, please?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through F and H through J.
Do we have
a second?
Thank you. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item G, approval of the appointment of Alice Hammers to the Police and Fire Advisory Committee with a residency waiver. Ms. Hammers? Thank you, ma'am. Would you? You have a frog in your throat.
Yes, I do. It's the first frog I've seen all year.
Yeah, I should say. We heard about snakes a little while ago.
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm hoping.
Mr. Higgins.
Yes, Alice, I pulled your application last week because I had two questions that I wanted to ask you. And one of them is you stated on your application that you are a resident of McNeil.
Yes.
And you request a waiver. As Bisbee is the town that I do all my socializing,
yeah,
much of my shopping, and often attend city council meetings and meetings with the city manager. And usually when we grant waivers, there's a connection to the town. Somebody may live out of town. They have a business in town.
Well, my partner.
Or they have some sort of expertise in an area that, you know, that we need. But socializing, I'm not against that as being a qualification for being on the, being on the board. And the other thing that, that I was a little bit concerned about, you said that you've been deeply concerned with the usually estranged relationship between law enforcement and the community. And I just wanted to say that I think very highly of the Bisbee Police Department. We're rebuilding. We have new police officers. We're on the way back. And the model for Bisbee is community policing. And I really don't see an estranged relationship between the community and the Bisbee Police Department. And I just wanted to point that out. One other thing. A couple of years ago, I remember you testifying during the Stone Garden hearing.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't want to characterize you, but you said that you were against it because of the militarization of the border.
I am.
Okay, well, Stone Garden, we extended the Stone Garden money for another year. And the reason we did it was because we have new Bisbee police officers. We're getting the force back to where it should be. And quite frankly, we make less money in Bisbee than we do anywhere else in this county. And so this is a device, a method, where we can get this little bit of money from the federal government and allow these young police officers to make a little extra money. It's their choice, they're not forced into it. It's entirely voluntarily. So, I just wanted to know the circumstances because I didn't see you this year when we approved that. So I just wanted to bring up a couple things, that's all. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Alice.
One thing. I think there needs to be, yes, I live in McNeil, but yes, I spend a great amount of time in Bisbee. I think almost every one of you, or many of you, at least 50% of you here know me. I sell at the farmer's market. My partner's a CPA and has a business in town here. I am a political activist. I do have positions. I think I am also very fair. And I think that most communities have citizen input into the police department. I don't want to be the only opinion on the I'm not interested in pushing my agenda. I'm interested in a community. and I think I'm a good person for that. I don't think I'm, yes, I have strong opinions. That's not bad. I'm also willing to step back, you know, and listen. So I would suggest that it's a very good idea to have community input into, I don't know so much about fire, that's true, but as far as policing goes, I think to have community, and when someone steps forward and volunteers, why not accept it? You know, here I am. I'm willing to do it. I did teach in a jail for 3 years, so I've had some thing. That I don't think there's anything else I can add to that.
Mayor, thank you, Alice. Thank
I
you,
move approval of Consent Agenda G.
I second.
Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 7-0. Ms. Amherst, thank you so much. Item number three, discussion of possible approval of the mental health section of the Bisbee Police Department manual and implementing it into the Bisbee Police Department manual that was approved. And that would be the chief. Chief Achave, please. Thank you, sir.
Mayor, council, staff, members of the audience. As the mayor stated, this is the coming back with the mental health section. Ms. Owen and I from the county attorney reviewed it. There were two very minor changes and some wording that were made to two sections. And for the most part, Ms. Owen and I agree that we're comfortable with the manual as presented and request to respectfully request to go forward.
Thank you, sir. We have a speaker. We have about. Do we have any questions of the chief before the speaker? Judy Litgren.
Thank you. First off topic. I'm donating a ream of paper because I had sent in a request to the city council to make a bigger, more readable, larger type, larger font public notice in the Old Bisbee Post Office. And I see last week they have replaced the glass enclosure with one that's about twice as big. And a few days ago I saw some notices that I could read without my glasses, so I'm keeping up my end of the bargain. Although I just talked to someone who said it looks like it's in 6-point print again, and I think it's very important for those notices to be readable. Now,
thank you, ma'am.
I joke with people about Bisbee saying it is like Mayberry RFD and Northern Exposure, with a lot of Deliverance and Breaking Bad right under the surface. And I say that in part because historically I have been a public defender, and in doing that, a job that I truly have loved doing, I know that there are at least three or four sides to every story, and there is a lot of very ugly, ugly things that happen to people and that people do to people outside. That also reminds me always of driving through Oklahoma near Christmas on my way back to Cleveland after the 9/11 season. I didn't want to fly, so I did this long cross-country drive. And in Oklahoma at a Waffle House at like 2 in the morning, my companion and I went in to get some coffee or something, and there was a waitress talking to a big, burly, biker-looking kind of guy. And all I overheard her say, and you can hear the most interesting stories being told in a Waffle House anywhere, is, honey, that's because you just don't know about what you just don't know about. And that's stuck in my head. It's so true. And as we get older, we know. We don't know about what we don't know about. But the more experience we get, the more understanding and compassionate we get for other people who go through the same kinds of things that we go through. We can't all walk in another person's shoes. I am passionate about mental health issues. I have lost a person who was just beautiful and bright and a young mom 20 years ago. This week, I saw her for the last time. And there's nothing like that kind of a loss to really open your eyes to the issues that people with mental illness face. I appreciate Chief Achave meeting with us earlier this week and making a few small changes, but I want that community policing policy to be enforced because there are more changes to be made. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Tom Reardon. There you are. Good evening, sir.
Mayor Smith, Mayor Pro Tem Dunn, members of the City Council. My name is Tom Reardon, and I serve as the co-chair of the Bisbee Homeless Task Force and as the facilitator of the Mental Health Working Group of the Task Force. As you know, the Bisbee Homeless Task Force was formed in June 2015 as a result of strong citizen concern over the officer-involved shooting of a homeless Bisbee resident who had a history of mental illness. Other issues relating to homelessness in the city of Bisbee were also raised and included in the task force's work. During its existence, the task force included over 50 volunteers, devoting hundreds of volunteer hours. The last deliverable was the task force's recommendations to the mental health section of the Bisbee Police Department's operations manual. As you will recall, this input was discussed at the last meeting of the council and was tabled until tonight's meeting. On March 15th, task force members Donna Pulling, Judy Lundgren, and myself met with Chief Achave and City Attorney Laurie Owen to encourage adoption of the task force's recommendations. This candid, frank, and vigorous discussion failed to resolve the task force's concerns over the section before you tonight for your approval. However, we are pleased to inform you that in spite of this impasse, several members of the Bisbee Homeless Task Force are now associated with the Healthy Community Initiative. This initiative is being driven by the Cochise County Department of Health and Human Services and will include examination of systemic issues relating to mental health and substance abuse. This examination will also include the local nexus between law enforcement and mental health best practices. Assuming that the Bisbee Police Department manual will be considered a living document, we strongly urge this council to consider future recommendations from the Cochise County Department of Health and Human Services to improve procedures and practices relating to police interaction with mentally ill persons. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Reardon. Ms. Donna Pulling. You were, it was the other Donna Pulling. I'm sorry. See what happens when you don't read? I apologize. Okay. Do we have any questions of Chief Achave?
I just want to make a comment. Thank you, Mr. Reardon, for your words. I'm glad to see that there is something that is being coordinated with the health department. And you're right, it is a living document. This is the start. I had a conversation with the chief yesterday, I guess it was, that this is a start. We need to get this implemented and then gradually look at what else needs to be put into that document. So thank you very much.
Anything else? Chief.
I just wanted to add, and we talked about this at the last meeting, the Simpatico protocols. And so as I stated then, those protocols have been distributed and are now under special order, the protocols that we follow. And just recently, within I think last week, there were several updates to that protocol. And the protocol, the good thing about the protocol is it's not just for police. That protocol covers EMS, it covers the hospitals, it covers the mental health care facilities, it covers the responders. It puts us all on the same page. Those are the folks we have to work with. We understand better their role and vice versa, and I think that it's good that we have that out there for our employees as well to rely upon.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the mental health section of the Bisbee Police Department's manual and implementing it into the approved manual.
I second it.
All those in favor of the approving that approving this section and moving it into the manual, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
And thank you all for your input, your compassion, and we will certainly do the best that we can to make sure that it continues to be noticed. Item number three. Yeah. We've all, I'm sure we've had those days, haven't we? Item number four. Discussion of possible approval of the City of Bisbee credit card use policy and travel policy. Carrie Bagley, our finance director. Thank you, Ms. Bagley.
Mayor and Council, I have the proposed credit card use policy. Can you hear me? Sorry. this is something that was recommended that we have in place by our auditors, and I also combined it with a travel policy since we often use the credit cards while traveling, and there's some confusion sometimes on what is and isn't allowed. So most of this was pieced together with the State of Arizona Accounting Manual and also input from department heads, city manager, and city attorney Lori Owen did the final kind of edit on content and wording.
Thank you, ma'am. This is a further attempt to even more transparency and clarification. We've had questions in the past specific about why did we pay Bank of America this money, and it will make those questions easier to answer and provide a policy that can be more easily followed. And so, Council, Ms. Hansen.
As a federal employee for most of my life, I am very familiar with these type of policies, and I just want to say that you did a very, very good job of putting that together.
Thank you.
It was very easy to understand, and I think that this is a great thing to have there, not only for the transparency, but also to help the employees that are having to submit all this documentation. They know exactly what to expect.
Right.
Mayor, I move approval of the City of Bisbee credit card use policy and travel policy.
Second. Mr. Lindstrom, any further discussion? All those in agreement with the fact of approving this policy, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, ma'am. I'm almost sure we go on to item number five.
Sure.
And Ms. Pulling, do you want to speak now or? Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am. This is discussion of possible approval of a $5,000 mini grant partnership agreement from SIGO for a voucher program for the Bisbee bus. Mr. Heratic is Public Works Director. I believe that's a Hatchawarian right now.
Correct. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Council. I actually think Ms. Pulling should have gone first. It would have made my job a lot easier. And what I can tell you about this is not as much as she's going to tell you. And she explained to me today how this really happened. But I'm going to tell you the part I know, and that is SIGO had a grant available to for $5,000 to apply to bus passes for the homeless. A bus pass in the City of Bisbee is $25. This will provide 200 bus passes for support our homeless population in Bisbee at no cost to the city of Bisbee. The only cost is us administering those bus passes, which is something we routinely do. So I would ask you, based on that information, to find a place in your hearts to pass this.
Does anybody have any questions at this point for Mr. Hradek?
I have one question. How is it going to be determined as to who gets those bus passes? I saw where it's going to be in a couple of places, but is there going to be any? Yeah.
This is for family. Right now, to get a bus pass, you have to meet a pretty rigid criteria. And what this pass does, and this is the important part of this pass, I'm glad you asked that question. This is to buy bus vouchers for low-income residents and families who may not meet documentation criteria to receive a bus pass. And many times people come to us for bus passes and they can't prove where they live, and so we turn them away at the door. And we know the problem, and we're not able to address this. On a basic level, you know, the men and women who work at Public Works who have to say no to these people, and we see that look in their faces. It's pretty hopeless. I mean, you don't have a job, and you don't have a way to get to the job because you don't have a car. So this is really a stepping stone for people, because we hear this from people who are in need. So did I get all that in there? Did I answer it? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Pulling?
Donna Pulling, and I live in Old Bisbee, and I just wanted to get a little background information about where this $5,000 came from and why. It was actually as a result of the Bisbee Homeless Task Force work. Randy Heiss, who's the director of CIGO, sat on the task force, and when we were making our list of concerns over homelessness and issues that people have in this community, it was determined that many of our homeless people do not have a disability diagnosis, and therefore they cannot get a free bus pass. That's what's required to get a free bus pass, is a access disability letter. And this is where this money came from. Mr. Heiss said, I think I can help with that, and he went to work and made the $5,000 grant. And I also wanted to thank Joan Hansen, because she was a part of that beginning stages of our work on the task force. And although the wheels of government turned slowly, that was 2015 that happened. What you're going to vote on tonight is the result of the task force work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pulling. Thank you to the task force also for that assistance. It's kind of incredible sometimes that those that need things the most are those that can't obtain them. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really happy that we have this opportunity. Council?
I move to approve the $5,000 mini-grant partnership agreement from CIGO for a voucher program for the Bisbee bus.
Second.
All right, those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Item number 6, discussion of possible approval of Resolution R-17-02, approving a 5-year lease with the United States Postal Service for the facility in Old Bisbee at a rent of $58,405. Per year. Mr. Hansen, City Attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. Almost a year ago now, we were approached by the leasing agent for the Postal Service seeking to renew their lease, which expires at the end of this year on December 31, 2017. The initial proposal from the leasing agent was for the same amount of rent as we've been receiving for the last 5 years, which is $46,000. In sort of a marathon of discussions and a tag team approach by the mayor, myself and Mr. Hradek and Mr. Marsh, we were finally able to get them up to $58,405 annual rent, which comes out to a net total of $1.24 per square foot as compared to $1 per square foot that we were getting before. This is going to be for 5 years, and in 5 years we'll have to go through all of this all over again, perhaps. This lease does not, as presented to the council, doesn't contain everything we want. Mr. Hradek really was hoping that he could shed some of the maintenance obligations he's got in that space. Unfortunately, we were not able to move them off that dime, so we took more money for the same amount of work on Mr. Hradek's part, and I think on the whole it's a good result, and I would recommend to the council to approve it.
Thank you, sir. Council, questions? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve Resolution R-1702, approving a five-year lease with the United States Postal Service for the facility in Old Bisbee at a rent of $58,405 per year.
Thank you.
A second.
Thank you, Mr. James. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 7, discussion of possible approval of a ground lease and transition agreement with Freeport for the mine tour facility. I'm checking to see if we have Mr. with Tom Wheeler. Tom, where are you? There you are. How could I miss you? And I think you're it, Tom. But you still only get 3 minutes. Welcome.
Mayor Smith, friends on the council, it's been a long time since I've been in here.
Yeah.
I'm here tonight to talk about former mayor and councilman Chuck Eads' pictures over on the wall. In fact, when I came in here, I was looking at the mayor pictures. You stopped putting mayor pictures up in 2004, so maybe you want to update that. Anyway, former mayor and councilman Chuck Eads started the Bisbee Mine Tour in 1975, with the revenues going into the city coffers to help us after the mine closed. It was a pretty tough time in this. Bisbee was about to face some hard times, and we did. By 1987, the city was so close to bankruptcy that the citizens of Bisbee rose up and elected a board of freeholders who then wrote our original charter adopting the council manager form of government. Bisbee never had to file bankruptcy, and the Queen Mine Tour revenues were a big help, especially during lean times. Some problems I see in the transfer is that we're going to lose some city revenue at a hard time. Everybody knows that we're in trouble right now. And I just can't see giving that money up. Now, the total revenue at the Queen Mine, I went and looked at the 2015 budget. Wow, it took in $667,000 in revenue, but $60,000 of that was transferred to the city. It had a payroll of $326,000. But, that $60,000 that went to the city was about the same amount of money that we transferred from the mine tour when I was mayor in 1998. $13 adult admission, that's what we're charging now. It was $10 in 1998. $10. If you rose that $2 at your 50,000 people that come to the mine tour a year, that's $100,000. If you raised it $4, that's $200,000. And anybody that thinks that $13 is too much, they haven't been anywhere. You go to Disneyland, you pay $100. You pay more than that to park at Disneyland than you pay for the mine tour here. So, thinking about Chuck Eads, he worked his heart out. It was his baby. I don't want to see the city give it up. I think they should keep it.
Thank you, sir. Any member of the council have anything to say? Mr. Hansen?
Sure. There's two parts to this lease proposal, as everybody is aware. There's the lease portion, which I don't think should be controversial in the lease. We've been without an active lease for quite some time with Freeport. the renewal, the lease renewal terms are pretty much the same as they were under the old lease, so $1 a year from Freeport. And the only differences were Freeport wanted to tighten up some of the safety issues, calling for annual mine inspections, another training program for employees, et cetera. But other than that, the lease terms are the same. The part that has generated a whole lot more public discussion and questions by the council is the lease. Part of the lease calls for the eventual transition of the foundation to transition of the mine tour from the city to a foundation with a board to be made up of members of the council, members of the public, members of Freeport, and also possibly somebody like the state mine inspector. Those terms have not yet been decided. In fact, the way I described that part of this agreement is it's an agreement to reach an agreement. It's an agreement on the part of the city to reach an agreement with Freeport on the terms of transfer to the foundation. One of the things, although it's not part of the agreement, Freeport very much understands because we made it clear, is that when a transition does occur, employees would not be affected. And one of the big concerns of employees, of course, is they're members of the ASRS pension system, which is a very good pension system. And it depends on how many years you accrued as to how much benefits you take out. And so to transfer employees out of the city employ to another organization at this time would really be unfair. We made it clear that however that's going to occur, the transition would be fair to the current employees. As far as the other terms of the foundation, as I say, they haven't been pinned down, but the concept is clear in the lease that it would be transferred to the foundation. This has been something that Freeport has very much insisted on from the get-go. We have tried to negotiate the best terms as possible on transferring to the foundation. There it is. It's up to the mayor and council at this point. We had a work session a couple of weeks ago for questions by the council and questions by members of the public.
Yes, thank you, sir. And of course, there's the caveat that if during this transition period it appears that it's just simply not going to work, then it doesn't work, and it's business as usual, basically. But this is something that has been looked at, has been negotiated, and has been... The big thing is the protection of our employees, which is definite, and the facts and figures that have been thrown around are varied, most not necessarily accurate, and the fact is that please do understand, we need to understand that this is a enterprise fund and this does not go into the general fund. This is a self-standing fund. So. This actually takes money, the money that Mr. Wheeler was talking about as an example, is money that other areas of the city perform services for, and that then the enterprise fund then paid the general fund to pay legal fees, as an example, finance fees for the accounting, things along those lines. So that's where those come. That 1 year was about $58,000, I think, Mr. Wheeler, and I think the others typically are a little less than that, but you are correct, sir. With that...
I just got a question. Yes. So if you're voting on this thing, this lease, I noticed there's some new safety measures. Is that we're voting? We're not voting on those too, are we? Or will those be discussed at a later time?
This is a lease that...
Because we didn't discuss those at the... At the work session.
You're voting on the lease and the fact that as a portion of the lease, certain things will be followed and negotiated.
Okay, so
and
these are pretty much part of it now. There's not going to be discussed. Cause I noticed the age limit of 6 years old on the mine tour seems random.
Well, that's something that we've gone back and forth, and that's a negotiated item.
So that can be changed.
That has that has been extended. It was to be effective immediately, and as of this afternoon, it was extended, or I guess this morning, it was extended to July 31st because there was a booking or a couple bookings of children that were under the age of six, and that has to do with safety Much along the same lines, when somebody's talked about Disneyland, you go to Disneyland, there's a thing that says if you're not this tall, you can't get on this ride. So along those lines.
So basically, if I don't agree with one thing on there,
I'm sorry.
I mean, if I don't agree with one thing on there, basically, then you know that's not negotiable, is what we're saying.
That's right. Okay. If that is a portion of the lease, that is correct. Your one thing, that would be correct.
And I could add this. The point that you brought up is a point that Mr. Graham brought up, I brought up, the mayor brought up in talking to Freeport. Originally, it was 8 years of age. We tried to get it to eliminate any kind of age limit whatsoever because there are kids. It's not uncommon for kids under the age of six to be going on the tour with their moms or dads. And Freeport would not budge past a six-year age limit other than to allow us to honor the existing bookings we have that in which there will be likely kids under the age of six.
What's the current?
Pardon?
What's the current age limit?
There is no current age limit at all.
So can you, like, table something for this, or does it?
Well, you can ask for this to be, the lease to be tabled if that's what you want, but that has been negotiated as far as it's being negotiated.
Okay. Did I just miss that at the work session, or was that?
No, you didn't miss it at the work session. The emphasis of the work session was really on the transfer to the foundation. Right. I think that's what everybody was focused on. That's the presentation Freeport got. And I don't think we even got around to talking about the terms of the lease.
So nobody really even talked about it, and we're voting on it.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I move to table the voting. I don't know how to word it. I mean,
I move to table this agenda item until the next regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council.
I move to table this item until the next scheduled meeting of the City Council.
Second.
We have a motion to table. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Nay.
Councilmember Davis?
Nay.
Councilmember Higgins?
Nay.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Nay.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Nay. Motion fails 5-2. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the ground lease transportation agreement with Freeport Minerals Corporation for the mine tour facility.
I second.
Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Nay.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 5-2. Number 8, discussion and possible action regarding sending a letter to Wachuca City Town Council offering to take over sponsorship of Camp Naco. This is an item that came up several years ago. Camp Naco, which we know is in our neighbors down in Naco area, and I'm trying to paraphrase. It fell into a problem area where it was going to basically be abandoned, and we were going to lose it in its history. And at that particular point, the only place that stepped up was Wachuca City, and to sponsor it and to take it over. And so they, in fact, obtained the lease for a consideration of $10. And throughout the last several years, they've had some issues with Camp Naco and being able to continue or wanting to continue the sponsorship of the camp because they're a long ways away. And this has come to our attention and is something that I personally was really enthused about over the possibility of us taking this over. And so with that, I'm going to ask Ms. Orozco to give us a real quick update and history of Camp Naco and tell us why this is the thing that we really need to do. Thank you, Ms. Orozco.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council, for listening to me tonight. I've been involved at Camp Naco for pretty much the nearly 20 years that I have lived in Bisbee. When I came to Bisbee, Camp Naco in 1997, late 90s, was owned by Vision Quest. Vision Quest had purchased the property from the Newell family, who had lived there, who had owned the property since the turn of the century. They had purchased the property as an investment property, and at the time they purchased it, there was an idea that Bisbee would build their smelter in Naco because of the trains that went to Cananea and also attached to Southern Pacific, so that it would be a way for ore to move. Well, Phelps Dodge decided not to build there, but built in Douglas, and so the Newells had the property. In 1910, the Mexican Revolution began, and Naco became a primary focus because people in Mexico could cross the border at Naco and obtain the supplies they need for the revolution. So three major battles took place in Naco, Sonora. The final of those was the longest battle of the revolution, went on for 119 days, and the U.S. military moved 5,000 troops to Naco, including the 9th and 10th Cavalry Buffalo Soldiers from Fort Huachuca and the Arizona National Guards. They had had a small contingent there before, but a major camp was built at that time. It was a temporary tent camp. The tent camp stayed in operation through the rest of the revolution, and soldiers from that went into Mexico with the punitive expedition when we invaded Mexico in 1916. In 1917, we became involved in World War I, and one of the reasons we became involved in World War I was a document called the Zimmerman Telegram, in which Mexico was approached by Germany saying, if you guys will keep the U.S. distracted, we'll give you back all the land you lost to them in the Mexican-American War. And so this was intercepted, and it was one of the reasons we went to war. In 1919, following the war, the U.S. government decided to make the border outpost permanent. Naco was the only one of these posts that was built out of adobe, and it is the only one of these permanent posts still standing. It was completed in 1919. I've given you the historic documents that tell about the decisions about that construction. By 1924, the U.S. had decided that it really didn't need that border wall, and the camp was turned back to the Newell family. The Newell family then again leased it to the U.S. government as a CCC camp in the 1930s, and some of the construction around the stairs, the golf course, the country club building, all of those were built by the CCC as they were living at Camp Naco. The U.S. government kept control of the camp until after World War II, as they felt that there might be need to be a border presence. But in 1950, they turned it back to the Newell family, and the Newells moved into the old hospital building and rented out other buildings to families here in town. Our county recorder, Christine Rhodes, grew up in one of those houses. The Newells continued to own it until 1990 when Mrs. Newell was getting older and John Newell had passed away. Mrs. Newell lived till 2011 when she died at the age of 100. There was a long family involvement there, but they sold it then to Vision Quest, who had was a for-profit juvenile treatment group based in Pennsylvania at that point. They were unable to get the zoning to move a treatment facility to Camp Naco. And so it sort of was sitting there abandoned when I became involved in the idea of preservation. And we started looking for a long-term steward at that point. I approached a number of different people, but things were moving slowly. We were working with the university and a number of other entities. And in 2006, there was an arson fire. Six of the buildings were set on fire. Five of them burned, had significant damage. And at the end of that fire, the county approached Vision Quest and told them they needed to fence the property because it was a hazard and mitigate the asbestos. Vision Quest said, we will demolish the site before that happens, but they told me when they had to let the county know that they were going to make their decision. I talked to everybody, and one of the groups I talked to was SIGO. And SIGO, I was the Cochise College's representative on SIGO, and I made a presentation about the camp to the mayor's group. And one of the people at that meeting was the mayor of Huachuca City, George Nierhan. A couple of days later, George called me and told me that Huachuca City would take it on. This was the Tuesday before Friday when they had to let Vision Quest had to let the county know what they were going to do. And so Huachuca City saved Camp Naco. No question about it.
However, George was soon recalled after that, and the new mayor and council at Huachuca City did not have the interest in Camp Naco that George had. They have allowed us, the Friends Group of the Naco Heritage Alliance, over the last 11 years now, to do work. And we have managed to obtain about $600,000 in grants, which has fenced the site, has mitigated the asbestos, has completed the master plan, which you have a copy, I think you have a copy of, that was a National Trust for Historic Places grant. That was completed a year ago. We've got a clean bill of health from EPA on the asbestos at the camp, and we're able to have volunteers there now. So what we would like is a long-term idea for the camp, but Huachuca City has expressed an interest that they do not feel it is in their interest to continue as the steward of the camp. They're willing to turn over ownership as long as that ownership guarantees preservation.
Thank you, ma'am. Don't you want to take a class from her? Maybe you should be a professor at the college. And it may be Southwest history. Thank you, Ms. Roscoe. Council, do we have questions? We want to talk about fiscal impact, of course. Fiscal impact is, of course, insurance. Mr. Marsh and I have checked with our pool carrier, and it does not increase our insurance at all. The next fiscal impact would be potential of electric for lighting. And at that present point, I think it runs about $800 a year, as I recall. And so that's what we would be potentially looking at. And then, of course, offering Huachuca City the princely sum of $10 for the transfer. Questions? Do we have a motion?
I have a question.
Yes, I'm sorry.
If we were to take this over, would we try to promote this as a tourist destination? What would we be using this for?
The master plan has four possible scenarios and or a combination thereof. One of those would be is promoting tourism. But probably what we would see in the long term would be a combination of factors. One of the suggestions was for art and retail space. One was to rehab the small houses as either long-term low-income housing for the elderly or as rental properties for vacation homes. And we had a series of charrettes in Naco as a part of the EPA Brownfields grant that mitigated the asbestos. And Naco at that point expressed an interest that they do not have in Naco a library or community meeting space. There's also the idea of a museum there because of the revolution. The Arizona Rangers got their start in Naco, and Greenbush Draw with Naco Mammoth Sites is right down the road. So all of those ideas could be combined. We have 23 buildings. And so I think that tourism at the very bottom end of the scale would be a Fort Bowie-like site that people came to see a military outpost if we couldn't preserve the buildings for the long term. But on the other end would be full restoration and a number of both commercial and public uses.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Any further questions? Okay. Ms. Klein?
So are we guaranteed then that it's not going to be over $800 that we would have to spend on this?
Well, I don't think APS will guarantee anybody anything that they're not going to raise the rates.
Is that yes or a no?
Well, the question is, of course we're not guaranteed. You're not guaranteed that your rates aren't going to be raised at your home. I mean, it's up to APS. It's what the rates currently are, is approximately $800 a year. But
so
APS
maybe
isn't
I should
going
rephrase,
to give us a...
Maybe I should rephrase it. Are we only responsible then for electricity and absolutely nothing else?
We're responsible for insurance and for electricity. And the insurance, I mentioned, there's no change in the insurance. And presently, the electricity is about $800 a year.
Okay.
Do we have a motion?
Mayor, this will come back to us for a second vote. I mean, you're asking to negotiate an agreement to acquire this from...
All I'm asking for is that I be...
Make an offer.
I may be allowed to... I've talked to the mayor, and what I am wanting to do is I'm asking the council's approval to ask the mayor to transfer this property to us for $10, and that we will then assume the electricity, and we will assume the insurance. That's what I'm asking for.
I move to send a letter to Wachuca City Town Council offering to take over sponsorship of Camp Naco.
I second it.
Thank you, sir. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
The motion passes 6-1.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. All right. We're now down to item number 9. This is discussion of possible motion regarding a special action by Emily Anderson, Carol and Dan Beecham et al., the City Board of Adjustment, regarding trailers at 205 Douglas Street. We have a number of speakers signed up. Again, I don't want to circumvent transparency, open meeting laws, or anything else, nor will I. But I do want to remind people, I would appreciate respect, decorum. I would appreciate and will require the 3-minute time, as well as asking that it not be repetitive. So with that, I'll just go down the list. I have Angelina Smith.
Hello, everyone. I won't take all 3 minutes. I really just want the city to address the suit because someone's real life is actually in the balance. We will make this woman, Jennifer, homeless if we're reviewed and you decide to overturn what is now legal. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, ma'am. Richard Overching.
Members of the council and the mayor and people in the audience, I'm Richard Overching. I live in the Divide. I own the property at 205 Douglas Street, and I would just like to say a few things about it. My partner Jack Dicey and I bought that property around 2001, and we were both about in our late 50s, and we were buying it with the idea of supporting our old age. I am now 73. Jack Dicey died in 2010, and a lot of people know Jack Dicey. He organized the men's shelter and started the kitchen that now bears his name. He was the more public part of us, and I regarded it as his project until he died in 2010. I, however, am an architect, and I designed and built the buildings on that site. I'm now 73, and besides my Social Security, the income from that property is my only income. But I'm here to ask the council to address this suit and not let it go, because, first of all, it would deprive two women of their homes, and me of some income. But I think the suit is would be easy to win, because it is the conditions of the suit are either specious or mendacious. I So I'm asking the city to do this for myself and the other people who will occupy that site. And I guess I would ask, too, that thank the people in the audience who have come in support of this, because and let them feel that this is not just about me and the people who live on our property, and whatever happens here can happen to you. So I'd like that to end with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Obuchain.
Mayor Wheeler, you're back.
You can't talk for 3 minutes if you only have one sheet of paper. I attended the, Tom Wheeler.
Yes, sir.
102A Quality Hill. I attended the Board of Adjustment meeting, and I watched the board agonize over making their unanimous decision. And I came away with these observations. When the city changed the code in 2006, prohibiting mobile home parks in the city effectively forever changed the value on a mobile home park that was purchased just 4 years earlier as a mobile home park. That's what it said on the title, mobile home park. I heard a lot at that meeting about how their view was ruined by Christine's 1953 vagabond mobile home. But the city should be more concerned how their action reduced the value of Blue Moon bungalows and are affecting his income. I really don't understand their kerfuffle. One more thing. Why does a state law require a city to have a board of adjustment if in the end the mayor and council can just bow to political pressure and not defend the mayor's BOA-appointed decisions? The reason for a BOA is to take decisions out of the political agenda.
Pardon me, audience members, no speaking, please.
Most of the city's boards and commissions are desperately short of members, because a lot of times it's a thankless job where neighbors will get in your face if you rule against them. One of the bummers of living in a small town. The board's decision was unanimous, so I asked the mayor and council to do the right thing and support your board's decision if you don't want to have any volunteers in the future.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Kenny Stewart.
Thank you. I came to Bisbee 15 years ago, and I stayed at the Shady Dell. I fell in love with Bisbee, and I've been coming back for the 15 years as a tourist, supporting this community. Now, this community has given me the opportunity to fulfill my dream. I opened up a place called the Bisbee Seance Room. Those not familiar with it, it is a magic show that encapsulates a lot of Bisbee's rich, colorful history. Now, Christine had a dream as well. She brought this beautiful vagabond. Aesthetically, it's gorgeous. It also supports our tourist industry. A lot of people have, it's made a big splash. Aesthetically, it's beautiful. A lot of people want to see it. So I'm asking that we do the right thing, and it stays there. Bisbee really is about people coming to the city and filling their dreams coming true. So, in closing,
let's represent this little yellow scarf as that trailer. I know some of you, very few of you in this audience tonight, want that trailer just to vanish from orange. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the majority of you want to see that trailer stay right where it is.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
You're welcome.
This next one, I am I reading Citizen
Arlt?
That's what I'm reading then. Okay.
I am indeed a citizen and a resident of Bisbee. I pay a nice bundle of city taxes and have voted here for 20 years, And that's despite my sympathy for the old woman who said she didn't vote because it only encourages the bastards. I've lived a few other places.
Would you identify yourself for the record?
Ah, do you need my first name?
I do, sir.
William.
Thank you, sir.
I've lived a few other places, and those city governments have now and then had a slice of corruption and incompetence. Gratefully, that's not much the case in Bisbee, but there does seem to be a fair amount of cronyism. Over the years, I've had some issues with the city, and I was glad to find out about the Board of Adjustment, where a simple citizen can have a grievance heard. And I thought I'd go see what it was like, and I was pleasantly surprised in this age of our decaying democracy. Honestly, I was shocked. The members were competent and intelligent. They painstakingly dissected the issues for everyone in the audience of grandfathering and what exactly manufactured housing is. Anyway, three of them did, and in my opinion, with great care. There was apparently no dissent among any of the members, so that the verdict was unanimous. A citizen had redressed to an arbitrary city ruling. Now I'm told the City Council is considering the de facto dismissal of the Board of Adjustments decision. I'm not here to speak for either side in the dispute, but to stand up for the Board of Adjustment. I'll make this brief. Such a decision by the Council would be in direct opposition by a ruling of the Arizona Court of Appeals in Lane versus the City of Phoenix. The gist of that decision is that a City Council is bound by the record presented to the Board and may not consider new evidence or reweigh the evidence previously presented to the Board. Failing to defend the Board's decision would neuter the Board of Adjustment. That would deprive every citizen of reasonable access to city overreach. Each BOA decision would be subject to an invisible de facto review. There would, in practice, be no Board of Adjustment. To the best of my research, no city has ever turned its legal back on a Board of Adjustment. Are we ready to set that precedent for the whole of Arizona? By not defending the Board, are we prepared for the legal consequences of that? I think it would serve everyone well if we knew the reasons why failing to defend the Board of Adjustment is even on the table. Since additional evidence cannot be considered, and a disagreement with the ruling is available only to the Superior Court, it would inform us if those responsible for proposing the city not defend the Board of Adjustment state their reasons for that inaction. Can I call for that? Can I have the reasons why someone would not want to defend the Board of Adjustment?
You may in the, not this second, but you may.
Can you welcome? How does one do that?
One will
just,
do
you
that.
You just did it. So okay. After you get done speaking, then other people speak, and then we can address your question.
Finally, in the case that the council does decide to defend the Board of Adjustment, I believe it would be incumbent upon it to recuse any legal staff that
all right,
sir,
your 3 minutes are up.
In the first place, so that the city can mount a vigorous defense
thank you,
the
sir.
Of the Citizens Board of Adjustment.
Leslie Ellis. Is it Leslie Ellis?
It's actually Lyle Ellis. I really have nothing more to add.
Thank you, sir. And I apologize. I'm.
No, it's an odd stone on
Lyle. It is, but
yes.
Thank you. Is it Ann Morey?
Yes, I just want the city to support the Board of Justice.
Yeah.
Sylvia Smith.
Okay.
Jennifer Schmidt.
Yes. I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Jennifer Schmidt. I live in the blue trailer at 205 Douglas Street. This is my favorite thing to do. I love public speaking, so bear with me. I'm really nervous. I have to say that this has been very difficult on me personally. This did not start as a legal complaint. It began as a noted eyesore. And keeping in mind the level of respect that I want to show everyone as a human being, on the same hand, I have not been shown that respect. For 8 months, I have been attacked. My character as a person has been attacked. This has not been about the law. There have been numerous calls and reports about drug activity regarding me. illegal activity, you know, I can't even name them all. All the calls to the city, the emails, all those things have really had a negative impact on me personally. And then when I look at the community is this, and what's happened is this. And that is really sad. To hear friends not speaking because of this is just not Bisbee. It's not a community, and I want it to stop. I want peace and quiet, which is the reason why I went there. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, and the city needs to support what the board decided to do based on the law, and I just hope that that's the case, and that the people who have been divided by this can mend the ways and we can move forward as a community, and that's what I'd like to see. Thank you for all your support. I would not be here if it wasn't for Christine and Ed. I don't have the money for an attorney. Based on the current Board of Adjustments unanimous vote, if I would have not had them and the community to support me, I would have been illegally evicted from my home because I don't have the means to have a lawyer. There's a socioeconomic difference between me and the other people, and that is just not the way it's a community is. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Kelly Humphrey.
Thank you, Mayor Anson, or City Council, for letting me speak. I'm going to make this short because everyone has pretty much said what I want to say. We live in a town where our economy is fueled primarily by people seeking out nostalgia, but also by people who come to Bisbee because of its largely alternative and environmentally friendly community. Tiny homes and repurposed trailers offer sustainable choices and are very popular as domiciles because they are an economically viable alternative to the rising cost of traditional home ownership and to those who choose to live in a smaller carbon footprint. Bisbee should and can be the forefront of the tiny home movement, and we begin with the Blumen Bugalows, Christine Gale, and Jennifer Schmidt. I urge you to uphold the Board of Adjustments ruling in this case.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Ed Smith.
Okay, I don't know how I can beat all that stuff, but anyway, I just have this prepared. Good evening. My name is Ed Smith. I lived in Bisbee since 1980. Christine Gale, the owner of the Big Yellow Mobile Home, is my girlfriend. There's been a lot of loose talk about the legality of her mobile home. I want to start by saying that Christine's mobile home, Jennifer Schmidt's travel trailer, were never illegally occupied. They were merely in question, and that question was answered on February 2nd by the Board of Adjustments when they voted unanimously to grandfather the Blue Moon Bungalows as a mobile home park, which it has been since the 1950s. March 6th, a lawsuit was filed in Superior Court challenging the Board of Adjustments ruling. We're here tonight to decide whether the city should instruct its attorney to respond to that law or simply do nothing and let the plaintiffs win by default. I recently spoke to former Mayor Jack Porter and asked him, in his experience as city councilman for 10 years, mayor for 4 years, does he ever remember a time when the city defaulted on a lawsuit? He said never. I asked the same question to former Mayor Tom Wheeler and got the same answer. It's my understanding that the city of Bisbee pays a flat rate for the use of the county attorneys. It will cost the city nothing to defend the law. However, if the city defaults, we will pay attorney fees and court costs. By voting to default, the mayor and city council is setting itself up as superior court, judge, and jury. If the city should choose to go this route, they would, in essence, be negating their own Board of Adjustments, depriving a property owner of the right to use his property in a way that not only profits him, but also profits the city in the form of taxes and sewer and garbage fees. And last, evicts two single women from their homes. Councilman Doug Dunn was on planning and zoning at the time these anti-trailer laws were adopted. He told me several times that they were never intended to be used in this way. The lawsuit is full of misinformation. First, the suit states that I, Ed Smith, represented myself as a lawyer and presented an unsigned document entitled Special Power of Attorney. I have that power of attorney right here. I will pass it on in this whole package to the mayor and council. There's my power of attorney. It is signed, it is dated, and it is notarized. Okay, second, claims that Jack Dicey was not seeking to place an older mobile home on his property, homes on his property. Here's the claim. It's a rendering of his plans to build a mini Shady Dell right here. That's that. I'm going to give you that, too, to look at when you go into executive session, if you do. Third, that all existing units are manufactured homes.
Mr. Smith.
That's not correct.
We're out of time.
Pardon?
We're out of time.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'll cut to the chase. I would like to ask the mayor and city council to instruct its attorney to respond to this suit immediately and let the proper authority decide this case.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
I also would like to submit these documents right here, along with a petition that's signed by 235 people. I got most of those myself. So here you go. Thank you.
Christine Gale. Thank you, Ms. Gale.
I'm Christine Gale. I am the owner of the trailer at 205 Douglas Street. I just want the city to back the Board of Adjustments. And the Beechams have their right to go to Superior Court, and I think they should do it on their own, not with help from anybody else, but their group.
Thank you. Dick Oberchain.
Cynthia Conroy.
Hi, Mayor Council Cynthia Conroy, 608 Shattuck. I have my own timer. All right, tonight, you vote on a question that has legal, moral, and political, and for Dick, financial, his retirement ramifications. In 2001, June to be exact, 205 Douglas Street, as Dick has already established, was bought. On that property, no matter what is in your interoffice memorandum from the interoffice memorandum from the county attorney's office or in the lawsuit, when he bought it, it had one mobile home, 1952, and two manufactured homes. So we need to quit saying that only manufactured homes were ever there. Trailers were there. I lived here. I was a probation officer and went there and visited people in their trailer in 1989 and 1992 before he ever bought it. So we need to get over what's true, alt facts versus true. We need to like move forward here. So I too am joining much people who are much clearer than me that you all need to consider defending this case. And by the way, the other thing in the suit was that because I'm on planning and zoning, which is kind of like because I've lived here 30 years, because my children went to school here, because I started the Bisbee 1000, because I ran for mayor, hold against me whatever you want, but you know what? I have the right to speak back at the Board of Adjustments meeting, and now I'm being on P&Z only means that I have actually read the planning and zoning code 5 times. And we have great planning and zoning people, just like the Board of Adjustments, are great citizens. They took the facts as presented by lots of people, like we're doing again for you all, and it's just really simply. Dick bought it. It was a mobile home park. It's still a mobile home park. 17 years have gone by of his life. $80,000. He didn't bother to even tell you all that. They've done great things for this community, as are the people who are living there now, from Christine to Jennifer, and it's simple. Just so you know, 1998 zoning code, which we are hopefully rewriting, Appendix B, B2, Act 1.15 says, Nothing adopted into the zoning code shall affect the right to the continued use of any property for the purpose used at the time that any such ordinance or regulation takes effect, which means the great and often cited 6.14. You can't live in a trailer and you can't live in a mobile home. So what? If you did it in 1957 and you did it in 1990 and you did it in 2001 and 5 and 6, guess what? After 2006, you still, I've got 27 seconds, you still get to live in it because it's grandfathered in. I just read you the grandfather clause. Thank you very much.
Dan Sabotis. You are?
My name is Dan Simonis, Mayor, City Council, thank you. Just a couple quick points. I think these trailers add to the perception of what it means to live in Bisbee and especially Warren. I believe the trailers do not lower property values, but rather will increase them. A couple of years ago, the city put a lot of energy and a lot of money into restoring our main street here in Warren. They did a beautiful job of it. It's gorgeous. We have the pavement's perfect, the sidewalks are perfect. I think these trailers are the spark, the much needed spark that will push the revitalization of this area to the next level. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stoll. David Rose.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is David Rose. I live in beautiful downtown Lowell. One of the main reasons I came to this city, I moved here anyhow, 10 years ago, I bought a property here after visiting, and it was because of things like the Shady Dell and the nostalgia that was that existed here and this throwback of this time in America when we made things and they were beautiful. But the biggest point really is it's important, I think, for the council to support the Board of Adjustments. I was here for those hearings. It was amazing the facts that came out and how, you know, I just love that they supported the group and their right to, you know, stay in these trailers. They aren't an eyesore. As a matter of fact, as a photographer, I work in the magazine industry for the last 30 years. We're winning all these awards for best towns, best art towns. You know, National Geographic has featured us, Arizona Highways, my friends at Hot Rod Magazine have been through here. And one of the biggest reasons I believe that we're winning these awards is because they have eye candy. Editors are looking for easy ways to have, you know, they send their film crew here. They know they're going to get great photos. Whereas another town where, you know, they don't have that guarantee. We have, like, beautiful things like the big yellow trailer. It makes me smile every time I drive through Lowell, I mean, through Warren now. And we need to encourage more of that. But most importantly, when the Board of Adjustments votes unanimously on something, I was amazed to hear that there were even consideration that our city wouldn't support that decision in court. That's all I have to say is, please vote to support.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Hansen.
Thank you. Mayor, Council, eventually I'm going to recommend that the Council go into executive session, but I think that there's a fair number of things that can be and should be discussed in the public session. I'd like to start with just going through procedural history here of the what led to the special action in December of last year. Following complaints from neighbors, the city served a notice of violation on Mr. Obachain for renting two travel trailers at 205 Douglas Street, his residences. That notice of violation was based on Section 6.14 of the Zoning Code, which says that RVs, travel trailers, are not to be used for permanent occupancy anywhere in the city, and they are being rented for permanent occupancy. Section 6.14 does go on to say that RVs and trailers can be used for temporary occupancy for a very limited period of time for guests of the owner. but the owner can't receive compensation for doing that. It's a guest-only exception. And that's not what the property owner was requesting here. So that exception did not apply. As it was his right, the owner appealed to the appealed the notice of violation to the Board of Adjustment, which heard it on February 2nd. The board heard and decided the appeal in favor of the property owner. And then this past month, 23 citizens of Bisbee filed a special action in Superior Court, represented by local attorney Margo McCartney. The special action is versus the Board of Adjustment, which is to say the city. But it also bears emphasizing that the property owner himself, having a vested interest in the outcome of the special action, has a right to intervene in that court case and argue to uphold the Board of Adjustment decision. As far as I'm aware, as of this date, the property owner has not done that. Now, a background on the Board of Adjustment and its role. I think it's important to mention that for just a couple of minutes. The Board of Adjustment is what is called a quasi-judicial body. That means that they decide cases before it like a judge. That is to apply the law to the facts. And in this case, it decides whether or not a use conforms to the zoning code or it violates it. So it applies the law, the zoning code, as it is, which is to say it does not decide the zoning code as they would like it to be. And I mention this because a lot of the comments we heard at the Board of Adjustment hearing, and we've heard some more of those here tonight, sounded somewhat like this. The trailers are an eyesore. They should be moved out. The trailers are beautiful. Who could possibly object to that beautiful yellow trailer and blue trailer being there? We heard comments, trailers are unsafe and they're susceptible to fire. They're a health hazard. Got to move them out. We've heard travel trailers are safe. We've never heard of a travel trailer in Bisbee in all these years catching on fire. We heard that trailers are really great for affordable housing and the city should encourage affordable housing. We heard that trailers and mobile home parks lead to trashiness, lowering property values. We heard that on the contrary, they lead to business, they're good for taxes, they raise tax revenue, and they raise property values. And I could go on and on, because it took several hours to get all those comments out. Now, all these kind of comments are about what the zoning code ought to allow. And they are appropriate if you don't like what the zoning code allows and disallows and you want to change it. And there's an avenue for that. And the avenue for doing that is called amending the zoning code. And there's a procedure for doing that. And as you go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, you ask to amend the zoning code. And if the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends it, then that recommendation is taken to the council, and they can approve it as a political decision of the council. Much different than what the Board of Adjustment's role is, which is not to decide what the zoning code ought to be, but what it is. So the comments about it, the trailer is a good thing for the city, it's a good thing for the folks, it's a bad thing for the city, it's a bad thing for the folks, all those things are relevant before the Board of Adjustment. And it also should not matter how many signatures on petitions people got. I understand people feel very strongly about this, and Bisbee is one of those cities that people love to circulate petitions. But it's not a Board of Adjustment decision is not supposed to be a popularity contest. The number of people with the most people coming out to support it aren't the winners, and the people with the fewest coming out to support it are the losers. Interestingly enough, when you go to amend the zoning code, it is proper for a public body, both the commission itself and the city council, to take into account support for amending the zoning code and against voting for the zoning code. That's where petitions, and that's where the statements of support are relevant. But they're not relevant before the Board of Adjustment. One other thing I wanted to mention, because it was clearly a point of confusion at the Board of Adjustment hearing, there are things that are called, let me start with this. People use the word trailer for a lot of different things. It could be used for a mobile home. Some people use it to apply to manufactured homes, to travel trailers, and the kind of trailer you put behind your truck to move stuff around. In the Bisbee zoning code, like every zoning code that exists, they are not treated the same. They're not swept up into to one big lump called trailers. There's mobile homes, which have a definition, and mobile home parks, which have a definition. There are manufactured homes and manufactured home parks. There's RVs and there's RV parks. There's travel trailers and travel trailer parks, all defined differently and all have different uses in and allowed in different districts in the city. And busy zoning code, as I mentioned, treats all those very differently, allowing some in zoning districts, some not at all. Now, to bring the subject matter back to the agenda item itself, whether the city should or should not defend the action, special action in Superior Court. There's one other thing that I need to mention, both to the council and to the public. For those who were present at the Board of Adjustment hearing, you will be quite aware that the city attorney, my office, prepared a memorandum ahead of time for the Board of Adjustment, laying out the law and the facts as we understood them based on the notice of appeal prepared by Mr. Smith on behalf of Mr. Obenchain. We also advised the Board of Adjustment at the Board of Adjustment hearing. Our advice was our reading of the zoning code did not allow those at 205 Douglas in a district zone RM under the facts that were provided to us ahead of time. Now, that makes it very difficult for us to go into Superior Court and say, Judge, forget about what we advised the Board of Adjustment to do at the hearing and what we put in our memorandum to the Board of Adjustment before the hearing. Forget that those things existed, because now we are going to completely go against all of those arguments and support the Board of Adjustment here with these legal arguments. We would be laughed out of court, we would probably be declared of being unethical, and we would not do the city or the Board of Adjustment or the property owners any favor whatsoever. We cannot go before the Superior Court and defend the Board of Adjustment's action. That's not to say the city, if it wants to, can defend the Board of Adjustment. Our office cannot do that. And so if the council ultimately chooses to intervene in the Board of Adjustment action, our recommendation, in fact, our requirement is you're going to have to hire outside counsel to do that. So, in any event, that is all I had in the way of background that I think it's appropriate to discuss in public. My recommendation to the council would be to go into executive session to discuss the rest. If you don't wish to do that, that's fine. I will be very blunt and honest in open session, and I don't think it will be doing anybody any favors if I do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hanson. Do we have a motion?
I move that we go into executive session.
We have a second.
Second that.
All those in favor going into executive session, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Do I have a motion to come out of executive session?
So moved. Second.
Thank you. All those in favor coming out of executive session, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. I will make a motion with an explanation. I move to table this matter. Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you. The explanation now will be provided by our city attorney.
And just to clarify, the tabling is to the next regular session of the council.
It is. Thank you.
Yes. The mayor and council are going to be voting on tabling this matter. I've got some thoughts about a possible non-litigation resolution to this that I'd like to explore with the property owner and with the attorney representing the plaintiffs in the special action, and I'd like a couple weeks' time to see if that can happen. If not, then we come back here, and there we go. But I think there might be another way to resolve this.
Do we have a motion?
You already made it.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. We have to vote on the table. It's been a long time. All those in favor of the motion to table, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Now, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Do we not have a city manager's report?
The city manager, we do not have.
Well, he just wants to dodge.
There is no city manager report, so. So all those in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you. Yeah.